Prime Time Replay from Money FM 89.3.
Well, recent studies published in Singapore have shown that the lack of proper childcare options for women, especially those of lower income families, has resulted in lower labour force participation rates. Well, what can organisations in Singapore do to give these mothers a new lease of life? Well, today we have Fanny Lim, Head of Programs at Daughters of Tomorrow, DOT, and Eugenia Ng, Associate Director of Michael Page Singapore, with us in the studio. And we're going to share more about the crisis hindering underprivileged mothers in unemployment. Well, let's talk about the statistics in recent studies published in Singapore. For example, the Labour Force Singapore report. What is the severity of this issue?
There's 25,000 women in Singapore currently on financial assistance. So there is quite a serious issue of, you know, urban poverty that we have right here. And of course, with this, there's a lot of barriers to accessing the workplaces for these mothers. So that's...
And similarly, you know, we get connected with a lot of these women, you know, who share their struggles on returning to the workforce, either through a lack of skills, professional skills, or perhaps it's the lack of childcare support.
Right. Well, what are some of the challenges and obstacles stopping these women, especially from lower income families, from joining the workforce?
I think one of the surveys that was done, you know, there's 24 point something percent, I think, that cited childcare as being the main barrier, because women are traditionally, or even in today's modern society, viewed as the natural caregiver for their, you know, kids, the elderly, and they're tasked with the, you know, the job of taking care of the home. And so, yeah, it's quite a common issue, I think, all around Singapore.
Mm-hmm. And why does it affect more women from lower income families? I mean, does ethnicity, single parent household, age also play a role?
I think, you see, the thing is, I mean, ethnicity, I think mothers being mothers is a universal issue, right? Mm-hmm. Why does it affect lower income families? If you think about it, the modern working mothers, the, you know, the middle income group and above, we have certain options made available to us. We are able to afford things like, you know, having a helper at home, mm-hmm. taking care of the children, mm-hmm. having nannies, professional nanny services and all of this type of things. But all of it comes with a cost. And if, let's say, I'm from the lower income group, I can only access certain types of work, mm-hmm. which only pays me $7-$8 an hour. Mm-hmm. You can imagine that, you know, I would not be able to afford these childcare options. And mm-hmm. so that's why, you know, I would rather be staying home than incur that kind of cost of, mm-hmm. to access childcare.
And additionally, a lot of these women, they might have maybe 2 to 3 children. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there is no... economies of scale,
sure.
per se.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So how are these women managing with unemployment?
I think it does affect quite a number of things. Besides income, of course, being the obvious thing that takes a hit. Mm-hmm. I think there is social isolation because they are just with the kids. And I think social isolation is common even among stay-home moms,
right.
with from the higher income group. Mm-hmm. But also, I think there's self-esteem issues. Your children don't really come up to you and say, "Thanks, mom, you're doing a great job." Or, you know,
yeah. I'm sure they won't.
Yeah. And they're not going to say, you know, "Excellent work, mom, for picking up my shoes, picking up my socks," you know.
Right.
So there's a lot of lack of encouragement as well within the home, and you're just expected to do it out of duty or obligation. So you would have confidence issues, lower self-esteem, and because you're just expected to perform all of this as part of duty.
That's true. That's true. Well, how does it affect three generations of women? I mean, is it like a snowball effect? Or
when we talk about poverty, I mean, poverty is a vicious cycle.
Sure.
And so it is common to actually see generations of women being stuck in this conditions, mm-hmm. because if I'm being viewed, I mean, you role model, look up to your parents as your role models, and so you become role models to your children as well. So a lot of this would affect, you know, different generations as well. I can, yeah, foresee
right.
that.
And we feel if you're able to provide these women even a regular job, you know, it may not be a very high-paying job. You give them the opportunity to be good role models to their children.
Mm-hmm.
They can talk about, you know, how they balance work and home. You know, even in terms of how relevant they are in talking about, you know, issues at school or issues in the workplace, it would be a great impact, I think, to the next generation of kids.
Sure. Okay, tell me, why are business or employers, I mean, hesitant to adopt flexible hiring practices?
Why are they hesitant? I think awareness is one thing. I think we may not understand the challenges of different groups of people. And I think it's not so much that people are hesitant. Sometimes I think it's an issue of education that's lacking, that people do not understand and say, they think that, you know, hey, you should be able to find work where, you know. So I think that's one area.
Yeah. And that's it, though. I mean, I work with a large number of clients today that are very receptive, a little bit more progressive-minded, I guess. They want to hear through Michael Page, through us, what other organizations have adopted and how they can in turn offer that in their workplace.
But admittedly, I think there is a fear as well that, you know, are you playing fair? If you give certain work conditions to this group of mothers, you know, are you being, you know, selective in your treatment in different groups? So you might have that fear of being perceived as being unfair. So there could be certain fear of these biases, lah.
Right. Yeah. Well, we are talking to Fanny Lim, head of programs at Daughters of Tomorrow, and Eugenia Ng, associate director of Michael Page Singapore. Tell me, what are some examples of flexible work and hiring practices, and can it be beneficial for both employers and working mothers?
I'll go first. Something that DOT has been advocating strongly for since last year is actually what we call the core stable scheduling, whereby we are asking employers who usually have rotating shifts practices to give these mothers schedules that work within, that allows them to work within the childcare hours.
Oh, okay.
So that means that from Mondays to Fridays, 9 to 6, you know, whereby they're on time to pick up their kids, they have the peace of mind to go to work. So these are the kind of rosters that we have advocated for. And thankfully, last year, I think we've got 30 over employers who came on board with this and who made hiring 140 women possible from this low-income group.
And similarly, there are a lot of surveys that have been done, in, not just here in Singapore, but globally, about the engagement that these women have. If the job allows them to just be results-oriented and not care about the hours they work per se.
Okay, we all know that flexible work practices benefit working mothers. You know, does it affect other employees in the workplace? I mean, is there like a disparity in benefits?
I think if you're talking about, let's say, the retail or F&B industry, whereby you do have that long operating hours, I think it will work out fine if we position it as, you know, mothers take a certain shifts, and for maybe the students who have a bit more flexibility to work on weekends, or maybe a different group of people to work on, you know, closing and opening hours, I think it is able to work out well. In fact, there was a studies in the US being done on a retailer, a global retailer, that allows for this core and stable scheduling. And it actually worked out well in terms of, you know, employee retention, people showing up for work, people able to, you know, focus at work as well. So it actually, you know, worked out very well for terms of business, win-win, and also the employers as well.
Okay, is sustained employment sufficient? I mean, if not, what more needs to be done?
Oh, that's a great question, and I'm glad you asked that. I think we have been placing women, I mentioned 140 women, and some of them have sustained beyond 6 months to a year. But at the moment, the next step, I think, for DOT is that we would like to advocate for a livable wage, because that's very important. I think we can continue be working, but we may not break out of the poverty cycle because, you know, Singapore being the third richest country in the world, there's quite a high cost of living. So when we talk about paying people $7-$8 an hour, or, you know, $1,002 for a cleaner job, is, and if I have three children of my own being a single mom, it's really the living is really going to be challenging.
Right.
And it makes more sense then, you know, that they stay at home taking care of the children and receive the benefits from the government.
Right. Well, Fanny, you're head of programs at Daughters of Tomorrow. So tell us about Daughters of Tomorrow. What kind of work that Daughters of Tomorrow do?
Well, it's very simple. Two main segments, actually. We take in referrals from social workers all around the island, receiving those who are on financial assistance. The women are being referred to us when they need to find work. And a lot of them, because of different setbacks in life and all that, they suffer from confidence issues. So we actually bring them through a journey of preparing them or building their job readiness or even their confidence. And also at the same time, I mentioned a few times about advocacy. We go out to the employers, we get certain job opportunities, and then we bridge them to that employment. Yep.
I see. Are there any other relevant initiatives in Singapore for this particular group of women?
Okay, the other thing that we are trying to do, but it's a more ground up initiative, but we did start it off, is called the Community Child Mining Program. Because even though the children could be enlisted in a childcare centre, but sometimes when a child falls sick, you know, you have to bring the child home. And if I'm a single mom or a single caregiver, then it's going to be challenging. I got to drop out of the roster. So that's why we're actually getting the kampung spirit alive again and getting the women to say, why don't you child mine for each other? So if I've got four kids already, you can take in another kid in case of ad hoc emergencies like this. You can help me to fetch the kid. The mother that is working does not need to come out of her workplace, and she doesn't need to say, you know, miss a few days of work because of the children falling sick like that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, just now we mentioned something about undergoing training and reskilling. I mean, how can these women who find enough time outside of employment to kind of undergo training or reskilling where they're most likely very busy to upgrade themselves?
You're right. You're right. The mental bandwidth, the time bandwidth, that you know, is all very taxing. And so with that, a lot of our courses are actually skilled to be bite-sized. So instead of saying, you know, come for courses like 2 months kind of thing, 9 to 6, we do understand the challenges. And so a lot of our courses are broken down into smaller, you know, smaller bite-sized, you know, little bit by little bit. And the other thing, key component that we do is we provide child minding on site.
Oh, okay.
So for all the courses that DOT provides, we actually have our volunteers from the corporate partners, from you know, different individuals who come alongside and, you know, help to take care of the children that the mothers can focus in the class.
Yeah, that's a good idea. So should more be done to educate employers instead? I mean, and if yes, so then how? How do we do that? Employers.
Well, I guess, you know, ourselves who reach out to a lot of these employers, we do the education through having events, you know, to share with them, and having all these partnerships where, you know, we partner with DOT so that the awareness can be brought to their organizations.
Mm-hmm. Are there any upcoming initiatives that might interest our listeners?
Yeah, I mean, DOT, we have like a CCA thing whereby every year we do like 2 to 3 poverty simulation runs. I think one of the main thing is, like I mentioned, sometimes it's not that employers are hesitant. I think it is a lack of awareness. And so we do this kind of simulation runs whereby we role play to be in the life of one of these low income families and see how day to day life is about. And then sometimes you gain insights. And after that, once you are, you have learned certain things, you will put into action and you will know how to help better.
Wonderful. So we've been talking to Fanny Lim, Head of Programs at Daughters of Tomorrow, DOT, and Eugenia Ng, Associate Director of Michael Page Singapore. Thank you very much, ladies, for coming into the studio.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.